This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and we are kicking off the second hour here of the program as ForkFest is ongoing at the campground over at Rogers Campground through the weekend. It's going to be happening. In fact, as I understand it, it's already, there's already people there, and we're actually going to get an update from Aria DeMezzo, our own co-host, who is on the scene. She got all the broadcast equipment hooked up yesterday. They recorded, I believe, a full show today. That show is going to air on tomorrow night's live radio show. So we'll look forward to that. The number, if you want to join the show here tonight, is 603-283-6160. And this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In fact, Dash has been around for a very, very long time. It's one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. Almost a decade, by the way, that Dash has been around. And it is focused on being actually useful, unlike Bitcoin, which, you can buy it and hold on to it, but if you spend it, good luck, because you're going to end up spending like a dollar or two's worth of Bitcoin these days just to send the transaction, at least according to the charts that I've looked at. Those are the current numbers for the median Bitcoin transaction, which basically makes Bitcoin useless, especially for small purchases. You're not going to want to buy a $3 cup of coffee if you have to pay a $2 fee on top of that just for the pleasure of spending Bitcoin. Whereas with Dash, whenever you spend Dash, you're looking at probably a way less than 1 cent fee to send Dash to the person you want to send it to. Also, from a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible. Its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. So it's great for merchants, and you can easily get it on a bunch of different exchanges. It's available in multi-crypto wallets all over the place. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. It is, I think, undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. And there aren't a lot of cryptos that are competing with Dash on this. There's a lot
of. What does it have better than Bitcoin Cash?
It's faster. The Dash times, the confirmation times are 4 times faster than Bitcoin Cash. There's also an instant send option with Dash, so you don't even have to deal with confirmation times if you do the instant send. Of course, there's, in addition to that, it's the chain locks technology as well, so it's protected from the 51% attacks. There's
a lot
I forgot
about this one time that I paid with Bitcoin Cash to my doctor, and it took over 30 minutes to confirm, so I had to, email them. I don't remember what I had to do because it was over a year ago, but I was just sitting there waiting for one confirmation.
Yeah,
it wasn't some kind of crazy busy time like Bitcoin just recently had. It was just a fluke.
The blockchain
thing. And I didn't pay a low.
Sometimes on Bitcoin Cash, the blockchain just goes slow. The confirmations come slow.
That's the only time it's ever happened to me with Bitcoin Cash. I like Bitcoin Cash, but that was just, I don't know, I had a question about that.
So, anyway, check out Dash.org, and big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. It historically has been highly accepted at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and ForkFest. We've been talking with Footloose. He's on the line here with us from his home in Manchester via Jitsi connection tonight. And we've been just kind of talking about some of the controversies, Footloose, that have now, apparently you've become one of the controversies at this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival, where you were informed today by one of the co-organizers that you have been banned from this year's event. However, what you were not informed about was why.
And moreover, I was informed when I said, this is just a rumor, I don't even, because it's Constance, I didn't realize at the time that she was the co-producer, and like I talked to her, I said, Constance said it, it's basically gospel. So it was Dennis, but she said that I would be physically removed. So she's threatening physical removal of me I take that as a threat. Just saying.
Yeah, well, this comes back to a question I had with Mikey, who we spoke to a couple weeks ago. He is a longtime Porkfest and Forkfest attendee. He's been vending there for many years, probably at least most of a decade. And so he's well known in the community. Yeah, he's a troll. I mean, that's kind of what he does online. He gets into troll
and in real life.
Fights with people. Not so. I mean, a little bit in real life, but not.
When I met him, I said, "So are you really racist?" And he said, "No, I just don't like black people."
Yeah, he's a, you know, whatever. I don't associate with him, and I just don't associate with him. But objectively, I can agree. I disagree with whatever I disagree with. But I can agree with him on a lot of these points and things, and it seems, even though I don't, I don't really like the guy, right? But I don't see why he should be banned over whatever disagreement between him and Lord Dennis.
And that's the beautiful thing, because, like, I'm not even sure if he is racist, because you can't tell if he's joking or not. Mm-hmm. But I don't appreciate that aspect, and there have been other things that he said I disagree with.
But you don't want him kicked out of the event.
I think he should be kicked out from the event. In fact, I think it's kind of terrible.
He didn't steal from somebody. He didn't, set somebody's campsite on fire. He didn't do any actual violation of another individual. In fact, what we were told when we interviewed Dennis Pratt was that Dennis simply believed, without any actual evidence, apparently, that Mikey had gone into some organizer's meeting on Jitsi and had, kicked people out of the meeting. I guess the allegation was he had gotten the link to the meeting, come into the meeting prior to it starting. So in Jitsi, there's that's all you got to do to get total control of a room is you just got to be there before anybody else. It's not a centrally controlled system. So that's just the way it works. And so whoever it was started kicking people out of the room. Eventually, somehow they got control away from this individual, and they got rid of this person. And then apparently Mikey joined after they got rid of the person. And so Dennis said, 1 + 2 + 3 equals whatever, and just determined that that must have been Mikey who did that, even though Mikey denies that it was him. And so he got banned for that. And I think that is unfortunate. But the question I had for Mikey, I said, are you going to attend anyway? And what has happened to your campsite? Because he said they'd refunded his ticket to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. But he had not, as of the last time I spoke with him, he had not actually heard from the campground in regards to his campsite that he registered last year, the RV site where he vends from. And so I said, if it were me, I would just show up, set up operations during Forkfest, and then, see what happens. Because he's always there during Forkfest anyway, and Forkfest is happening beforehand this year. So see what happens on Monday. See what they tell you.
Yeah. Record it. Get your camera out and start recording it, because it's, property rights. He rented that site. They don't rent the whole campground. They don't hold sway over the whole campground.
Right.
So until they do that, when they rent out the whole event and pay Rogers for every single site and carte blanche, then maybe they can start dictating things like that and having these gun-free zones and all that. But
And then Porkfest would get really big.
Let's get to the I want to get a couple calls. Do you mind just hanging with us here, Footloose,
to talk about
this? All right. So we've got Aria, our very own Aria DeMezzo, is on the line here from the campground there at Rogers Campground, where Forkfest has been ongoing this week. Some people apparently showed up earlier in the week. Aria, you showed up on Thursday, got the Free Talk Live broadcast studio all set up there at RV site number, 46. Is that right?
That is correct. We are at 46.
Same place we've been for years.
It's apparently considered our site now. Yeah. When I tried to book a different site, they said, no, you're at 46. And I was like, we want this other site. It's Ben. And I go, no, that's someone else's. Just stay at 46. You'll love it. I mean, they're not wrong.
It's a fine site. It's not too far away from
the
entrance.
I got a little confused there. We were supposed to have a different site, but we got 46?
No. She asked for a different site when we were negotiating the deal or whatever, and it was just like, why don't you just stay put? So we're staying put. So how's it going up there?
It's great. I'm actually soaking wet. So is my dog right now, because it started raining. It's very raining in New Hampshire right now. And we got back, and right as we got back and it started raining, so I had to go down to the site and, let the chintz down to minimize the chances of rain getting in.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're soaking wet. It's absolutely beautiful, and it was beautiful all day.
Oh, nice.
I love how it waited until the end of the day to start raining. The wedding rehearsal, the big event of Fork Fest this year, took up most of the afternoon. It was great. It's going to be a beautiful wedding. Hundreds of people expected to be at the campsite by then.
Is there a plan for rain? Is there a plan for rain for the wedding? Do they? What are they going to do?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to get wet.
Okay. Nice. All right, very
that
cool.
Is the plan.
And of course, you're talking about our co-hosts, Nikki and Matt. They are going to be tying the knot at ForkFest. By the way, not the first time that's happened. Jay Noon, also one of our co-hosts, had his wedding at ForkFest years ago. I think it was like 2018. So the first couple.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're going to be presiding over this wedding, as I understand it, as the presiding mistress of the Reformed High Priestess of the Reformed Satanic Church.
That's absolutely correct. It's a weird experience for me. I'm not used to doing marriages in general. I mean, orgies are more the thing of Satanism than, like, monogamy, right? So this is a new experience. And then it's actually going to be, like, licensed and recognized by the state.
Oh, wow.
So that's also
so you've got paperwork
a new
to fill
aspect
out,
of it. I do indeed have paperwork to fill out. It's very weird to do that on behalf of a church that the United States government just, you know, prosecuted.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's how
who denied the existence of your church.
Right. And then allowed me to stay out so that I could perform a wedding in the capacity of the high priestess of this church.
That's a good point. I mean, it's not like they actually did anything like brought charges against you for having a fake church. They can't
There's
do
no
that.
Such charge.
Yeah, exactly. They can't do that. So all they did was make these I mean, well, in Ian's trial, they made the claims that all the churches were fake.
Quote, unquote, purported.
In a way to just sway the jury. But it's not like they
That's
can actually do anything like
Yeah, they just wanted to drag us through the mud, essentially, was what it was. So what else? I mean, how
they
is it?
They could try it, right? But every time the U.S. government has tangled with Satanism, they've lost.
Yeah. How's it going out there? I mean, as far as the event, ForkFest, you know, you've been there for years. You saw it before when it was, I think you were there when it was pre the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You've been there through the 3 years where it was after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. How's it comparing so far?
That's right. I've been to every ForkFest, and so far it's difficult to say. I feel like I'm earlier this year than I am on most years because presumably in previous years when it was at the beginning, I would have come up on Friday is my general suspicion. But people started arriving today, and they've continued arriving tonight. Of course, the lady who does Euros arrived a little while ago while I was out having dinner and asked for help getting her canopy up, and unfortunately it started raining right after that, so no one's doing that, but people have begun arriving. Of course, Sean of Chuck Wagner Sodas arrived today, and several other vendors arrived today. Many attendees arrived yesterday, and of course today as well.
Now, when you say attendees, are these people who they know about ForkFest? They're there specifically to attend ForkFest, or they're just, you know, oh, we happen to be here early for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and they don't know what ForkFest is?
Well, there's obviously going to be a little bit of both. And I got to tell you, Nikki's wedding really skews the numbers, right?
Sure.
Like, she's expecting between 150 and 180 people here for the wedding, and that's a big ForkFest anyway. But on top of that, you got people here for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, so it's some of them are for sure. There's at least one person running around who I've talked to who is only here for ForkFest.
Mm.
And who is not even staying for the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Oh, wow. All right. Anything else that you want to share? How's the food situation? I know the last few years as ForkFest was after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, basically after day one, it was like it was scraping by trying to find any hot food or any food prepared to order on the campground.
That was how it was yesterday and today. Tomorrow will be different. Of course, tomorrow dinner. I don't know if you have to have an invitation to attend the wedding, but tomorrow my dinner plans are, you know, the wedding. There are vendors that have begun to set up. None of them are the Gordons have been selling food, donations only. I don't know what sort of capacity they're at, if they can be, you know, 10 people or 30 people.
I heard they were offering breakfast at their site this morning and dinner at their site this afternoon. So, I mean, that counts. And as I understand it, Bumps was cooking out of her trailer that she has. She's one of the seasonal rentals there. She's also a Free Stater. I understand that she was cooking on Wednesday night before you even showed up. So it sounds like there's been at least some food available over the last couple of days.
That's correct, but I don't consider those people to be vendors. They are attendees who happen to have food that they're selling.
Oh, I do. If you're selling food, you're a vendor. I mean, there's not you don't get like a badge at Forkfest, you know.
You don't get a badge, but
you don't have to have a
purpose.
You don't have to have an actual food truck to be a vendor. If you've got a grill or whatever and you're ready to roll and sell people some food, then as far as I'm concerned, you're vending. If you're taking crypto, if you're taking, if you're taking gold backs or whatever, you're good to go.
Okay. Well, that's not the metric that I would normally use when I answer the question as to vendors.
So let's re-answer the question then. How many people are actually selling food? That's what I meant, I guess, was not how many quote-unquote
vendors. Honestly, I think only the ones that you've listed.
Okay, all right.
Which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's also only Friday, and more people come during the weekend. A lot of people had to work today. A lot of people are going to arrive overnight. More people will arrive tomorrow and Sunday.
For
so
sure. All right, anything else you want to share about the experience so far?
No, it's just absolutely fantastic, and I hope to see people here.
Is Mikey out there, by the way, the band Mikey from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, who normally vends at Forkfest?
He is not. And, of course, I offered him, space at the FTL site for him to put his stuff.
I think he has his own site. That's the thing.
He does, but, and he probably does through Forkfest. To my knowledge, Rogers Campground has not offered him a refund. They have a very strict no refund policies, right? Like, they wouldn't even give me a refund several years ago on a hotel room that I ended up not needing. They were like, no, there's no refunds. I was like, this cost me $2,400. And when you talk about this, I go, no refunds. Man. So they're very strict on that.
Okay.
That'll be interesting
to see how that pans out. Aria, thanks for calling in tonight. Your show, recorded today, is going to be airing tomorrow night on our Saturday night show. So we'll look forward to hearing what you and Captain Kickass had to talk about today. So thanks, and good luck with the wedding tomorrow. We're expecting to see you. Bonnie and I will come up, and we'll see you there.
Yep, sounds great. See you then.
Thanks, Aria. In fact, speaking of Mikey, we have him on the line here. Also, Footloose still with us from Manchester. Mikey, where are you calling from tonight? We were just told you're not at the campground.
I have not made it up yet. I will be at some point this weekend. I'm not sure exactly.
Okay.
It's just plans haven't worked out.
So we were talking with Footloose earlier about the fact that you were banned. As we discussed, you called in a couple weeks ago. About this, you were banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival, apparently simply because the organizer believed, apparently just on his own volition with no evidence, that you had caused some trouble in an online Jitsi conference, even though there was no evidence for it, and said that you were going to be refunded. You had your tickets refunded by the Free State Project, but the big question at the time was what was going to happen to your campsite, because normally you attend Forkfest and you vend from there. Usually you set up like a snack tent, and it's open 24 hours a day, and it's on the honor system. So you are showing up. You're planning to show up at Forkfest this weekend and get set up. What's your plan for the Porcupine Freedom Festival come Monday?
Well, first of all, thanks to Bonnie for giving me the heads up about Frank being on and all this stuff, because I saw a post about Frank being banned and Rochelle, and there's just a total lack of transparency here. It's just amazing that we almost have more rights under the Constitution than our own libertarian festival. There's no transparency, no due process, nothing, and I hope Frank and I can have a little truce in our disagreements, because we have a bigger issue here. I don't know what I've heard he's accused of threatening violence. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not presuming anything, but they don't have any clear, statement of what any of us are banned for. And as far as I know, it's just criticizing and complaining about the organizers.
Frank, do you have any idea what this claim of alleged threats of violence could possibly be?
No, I want either a quote or screenshots. I mean,
I don't know. It's just rumors.
This is the thing. You got to remember when I was at that executive council meeting, and I was saying, we know where you live, to the politicians, because it's public record.
Yep.
They did a whole big investigation with the AG and the state police to try to come up with charges on that, because they were scared and they felt threatened. But it's not a criminal threat. It's not a credible threat.
Nope.
And so these guys want to go down that road and take something that I said and twist it like I'm actually making credible threats, instead of trying to emphasize a point like I did earlier, where, like, it's not all free skaters there. It's not all libertarians there renting campsites at all times. And wherever you're at, you better know where you're at. You know, like Maj Tajor said, when he's around, it's his community. And I said the same thing in my post on Facebook. I said, it's 24/7, 365, my community, wherever my feet are at. 100%. That's the type of thing I'm on. I'm with Maj. I follow him after I heard about this. I didn't really even know anything about him. I heard about the Black Guns Matter thing. Didn't know who he was or whatever, but, I like a lot of stuff that he has to say, but I mean, honestly, I should be getting paid to speak there. Why am I not being invited and paid to speak there about what's going on in this state, in the tyranny of this governor? Because they all want to toe the line and they all want to become part of the state. That's a big problem, too.
Now, when you say that you are with Maj, we mentioned earlier, and we had an extensive discussion about this on previous episodes of the show, that Maj Tour, who is known, I think, nationally for being the Black Guns Matter guy.
Black Guns Matter.
And
yeah, I follow him on Twitter since this whole thing, and I became aware of him.
And he does really good work there. I was disappointed when Maj came out on Twitter and said he was going to roll up and assault anybody in quote-unquote his community who does a drag queen story hour. And he didn't say anything about only if it's sexually explicit without, you know, parental consent.
I think it should be implied, though, that's what he meant, to be honest.
But he didn't clarify that when he was given an opportunity more than once to come on this show, so let's have a conversation about it. He said, what we were told from Dennis Pratt, the organizer of Porkfest, is that Maj is willing to meet and talk with anyone at Porkfest. I'm like, great. Let's have a meet, you know, 2 months in advance on national radio where we can have him clarify what it was that he was saying. Because what Dennis was saying was, well, no, he didn't mean what he actually said, was that he was going to roll up and assault people who have a drag queen story hour. And I was like, well, let's come on the show. Let's have you, you know, let's talk about it. And he refused to come on the show, has refused to have any kind of comment. Further, he made a further post on Twitter that he was considering Porkfest to be his community and, quote, make of that what you will. So he has done everything but, you know, walk back his statement in any way, shape, or form. Now, I personally don't think he's going to do anything at all, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't a threat. I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it coming up here, Footloose. Also, we still have Mikey with us here from the, well, he's not there yet, but Forkfest is ongoing. You can go to forkfest.party. There's more coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Rulings on two major issues won't be released by the Supreme Court until next week at the earliest. Decisions on cases involving affirmative action and President Biden's student loan debt relief plan were not included in today's release of opinions. Cleanup is underway in Perryton, Texas, after a devastating tornado that killed three people yesterday. There's an extensive damage to homes, businesses in the panhandle town of about 8,000. County officials said 114 people were injured. However, everyone that was reported missing after the twister has been accounted for. Five service members have been injured after a small Navy boat crashed off the coast of Coronado last night. Jack Cronin has more.
The crash happened at 1:50 in the morning when the small boat hit Zuniga Point Jetty just off the North Island Navy base at Coronado in San Diego Bay during a Naval Special Warfare training mission. The Navy says all five are now in stable condition.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. Earlier in the show, we did start talking about the chairman of the Democratic Party here in New Hampshire attacking the Porcupine Freedom Festival, attacking specifically RFK Jr. for speaking at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We started reading his letter that he wrote to RFK Jr., and it's, of course, all about how terrible the Free State Project is and how dangerous and scary the Free Staters and the Libertarians here are, which, of course, is just a huge endorsement of the idea of concentrating Libertarian activists in one place. So we're going to continue with that here in a little bit, but we ended up talking about ForkFest, which is going on right now. You can go to ForkFest.party. It is the decentralized alternative to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Hey, ForkFest, it's a great event. I even said when they banned me, because we're talking about people who've been banned apparently from this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival, when ForkFest banned me from their event in 2016 for apparently a one-year time frame, and broke up with Free Talk Live because we used to have a deal with ForkFest, a sponsorship thing. When they did that, I wrote an article at freekeen.com about how, even though I'm banned from the event, I thought that you should still attend it. Because I still think, despite whatever failings of the centralized organizers, the event is still, overall, a very good thing for the ideas of liberty. I'm joined by Bonnie and, of course, also Footloose, who's with us here from his home in Manchester. Also, Mikey is with us in wherever it is he is. He's a regular vendor at both ForkFest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I think, Mikey, you had agreed with me that and that you think people should still attend this event despite the controversies, despite the personality conflicts. Is that right?
Yeah, I do plan to stay, and I did a little update. I did receive a call or two calls from Rogers. They left a message, and I called back, and the person in the office said that there was she had heard about a conflict between me and Porkfest, and the only thing I was able to say was that the only conflict is Dennis with me. There's no conflict between me and Porkfest. And then she had to take another call or deal with something, and the call dropped, so I don't know the status of that. And
so she didn't say, I'm sorry, but we have to cancel your spot.
No.
Okay.
No, and I think they just don't want to deal with this. They have so many other problems, and I think at the end of the day, if Frank, me, and Rochelle were to show up, I think Dennis is a coward. He's just going to, you know, shirk off and do his, you know, bring his status and whatever other nonsense.
Well, if it were me, if I were in that circumstance, I would be on the campground doing my thing, and I wouldn't go to what I consider to be the Porcupine Freedom Festival part, the official part, which is the pavilion and whatever other Porkfest tents they have. Right?
I almost never go down there anyway. So in general, I make one appearance a week at this point because Porkfest to me is, you know, up in the Agoura Valley and all that stuff. You know, it's nice to see some of the things. I will say I'm drawing down my vending a little bit this year not because of this stuff that was kind of planned in general between the theft last year and just I'm burned out from a lot of things and I'm just going to mostly enjoy the festival. I'm going to do my tours and, for somebody who's supposedly sabotaging the festival, I've spent the whole week designing and printing and putting together the most beautiful signs that will tell you what row and what tent you're in.
Hmm.
So you'll see these really nice signs go up sometime this weekend that will say, you know, RV such and such, tent such and such.
That's handy.
And there'll be a map. There'll be a map with the highlighted part, a little sticker that says you are here, and then I'm advertising my tours on the back of it, which will say campground tours banned from the schedule because I'm banned from the schedule. And honestly, I think Dennis has done me a favor because being banned from the schedule, I get to be an outlaw now. And I can, I'm just going to advertise the tours all over the campground. And I did put QR code on the sign. So if people want to contribute to the closing in on $500 that I've spent on these signs, I hate asking for money because I'm a giver, but people have asked to donate or sponsor, so I'm just putting QR codes on it, and I've already received a few dollars in Monero, so
very cool.
Just posting it in a couple Telegram groups.
So it sounds like you're coming up this weekend for Porkfest, and you're going to try to stay in through, because you've got a campground, you've got a campsite, you've got a plan, and you're planning an event, so it'll be interesting to see how things shake down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna do more attending than vending. I may do a little bit of vending, but I think I'm just gonna take a sabbatical this year, and it gets tiring to vend, so
sure.
It'd be nice to patronize other people.
Yeah, well, enjoy it, Mikey. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. So, Footloose, we were talking with you about this Maj Tour controversy. You said you take Maj Tour's side. You made a comment that, and for listeners that are just tuning in, Maj Tour is the Black Guns Matter guy. Does a lot of good gun activism, bringing, gun freedom to various different communities, urban communities specifically. He's from the Philly area. And that's why he was invited to speak at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And then he made a statement that he was going to roll up and assault anyone who has a drag queen story hour in his community. Now, despite the fact that he has not actually done this, because somebody identified there's been multiple drag queen story hours in his actual community in the area, the neighborhood of Philly where he lives, so he hasn't actually done what he said he was going to do, it was pretty clear that he was also talking about he would do that at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And then he made a subsequent tweet where he did clarify that he considered Porkfest his community. Apparently behind the scenes, when interviewed by the organizer of the festival, because you're not allowed to threaten other Porkfest attendees. That kind of violates the non-aggression principle, and usually that's going to get you banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I think most people would agree that threats are a good reason to ban somebody from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We've been talking earlier about this on the show with you, Footloose, about reasons that are not good for banning someone, like apparently somebody said something that another person didn't like. So one lady.
I wish that these people would just give exact examples, because then we could decide if we agree with them or not. If right now, if they have a really good reason for banning Rochelle, I wouldn't know because they just...
Let me say something about that. So I didn't get to that part. While that was unfolding today, of course, I start, you know, talking to other people behind the scenes and whatnot. And Dennis ended up telling her that she can attend if she apologizes to him and if she's willing to play nice and all this full baloney and not be unkind to people at the other people at Porkfest attendees or whatever he was trying to say.
Man, that is
so
just...
basically trying to control her speech.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow.
And as long as she's willing to submit and apologize to him, then she can go back. So I haven't been able to check if I've gotten anything, but I did see a pop down where someone is demanding that the banning stop and that nobody should be getting banned for these non-issues and disagreements. And what I want to say about the Maj threats mm-hmm. are that's exactly like the stuff that I said. We know where you live, okay? And it's not a credible threat. So unless he threatened an actual event or a drag queen that was, you know, going to be hosting an event, that would be a credible threat. He's making a statement like I was, and he's
yeah, but saying we know where you live. But hold on.
Frank is referring to when he said to, like, the government or the governor or the police – in when he got arrested, he said, "We know where you live."
That's
right?
Absolutely not a credible
and
threat.
It's not even a threat.
It's not even a threat in any way, shape, or form, because that's just simply stating a fact. We know where you live. You also have a history of protesting peacefully outside of government homes. People like Chris Sununu, the current thug governor of New Hampshire. You and I have both been out, and Bonnie, in fact, has been out in front of that man's house, and while arrests happened, it had nothing to do with violence. They had nothing. I mean, the violence was brought by the state police. The protesters were completely peaceful.
Singing.
Singing songs, right? Speaking.
But I get loud, and I...
You do.
Become animated, and yeah. People take that as a threat. They take the tone of my voice as a threat. That's why I keep getting arrested, because of the tone of my voice, and it's saying F-A-F-O,
mm-hmm.
right? That's speech, and it's bad decorum in certain circumstances, but it also justified once you know the details. A lot of people think it's justified, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was justified in a certain circumstance. And to say that we're not allowed to dissent is very anti-libertarian. It's a straight-up authoritarian.
No, I completely agree with you on that point. I agree with you on that point, too.
I just think that it's a false comparison to say that what Maj Torre said is exactly the same thing. He said, I will roll up and assault you. He didn't say, I will know where you live if you do this. He said, I will roll up and assault you. That's a threat. Of course, it's not a credible threat because he didn't threaten a specific person, as in the government shouldn't arrest him for it. I didn't even report him to Twitter. I didn't even think he should get kicked off Twitter. But in no way should a thinking person, which is not Dennis Pratt, decide that he should stay at an event when he has specifically said, if someone does this thing, this nonviolent thing at this event, I will assault them. That is enough not to get arrested, but it is enough to say, then don't come to our private event.
Well, I mean, that may be, I may have said similar things about that incident that is what got me banned. I honestly can't remember, so I'm interested to hear what they have to say, but I was reflecting, I know I told them, I mentioned it earlier in the show, where there was a veteran who was saying these things, and I'm trying to let the organizers know that there are people that feel this way, and you might want to think about how you're conducting this event, because it is not all attendees at the campsite, and I was saying how there was this family and this veteran guy who was not an attendee who did make threats, right? So
yeah.
You've got to understand how I was trying to get this thing across, and I'm not saying, like, I was implying that I was going to make threats or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
So I get that you know, is a little bit different. But, yeah, no, he didn't make a credible threat.
The thing I want to say about the veteran is that you got to be careful. I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying in that you never know what people are going to do out there, and that, as you pointed out, the campground isn't restricted just to the Porcupine Freedom Festival attendees. There could be average folks on that campground who may not really be happy about a naked guy walking around or
and
whatever.
There were attendees who were not happy about how that went down either.
Well,
so,
there's a difference between being not happy and actually threatening violence, though. However, if he's not an attendee, then he can't be, quote-unquote, kicked out of Porkfest because he's just attending, you know, he's just there at Roger's campground. Now, hopefully he wouldn't actually follow through with the violence that he might be threatening.
Roger could kick him out.
Rogers could. But what that has to do with is what I think in law is called the heckler's veto. Now, this may not be the perfect application of it, but the idea of the heckler's veto is that, well, you shouldn't be able to say a thing or do a certain thing because somebody might get violent with you, as though that justifies, you know, the restriction on not doing a thing because some other person would break the law and come after you violently because of that. No, the reality is you should be able to express yourself, even though a consequence of that expression may be some psycho, you know, Marine guy who comes at you violently. I mean, I would hope, again, that that didn't happen. I wouldn't blame somebody who decided they still wanted to take the risk and express themselves, be naked or whatever. But I think you're right, Footloose. They should know that not everyone in society is ready for that, and there could be some consequences. I mean, I've had people get angry simply because I've recorded video in public.
Yep.
You know, you bring a video. You might have encountered this, Footloose, with some people. They go
sure,
crazy.
But I think the thing is, you know, I'd like to go back to the whole the consent issue with it and the people coming out of the area. I don't care that they do it, but I don't want to see it either. You know what I mean? But that doesn't make me not a libertarian because I don't want to see this dude's junk or some chick, naked chicks. I don't want to see every naked chick. Okay? So, you know, it's just a matter of consent, and people, you know, you want to do it, do it. And people might say something about it, and if people don't like it, people aren't going to like it. But I think it all comes out in the wash in the end, and it's about the stuff being around children that people were upset about. And
I think that's where it comes to these people who are upset about, you know, what their kids might see.
Porkfest attendees, Rochelle.
Yeah.
And this other guy with the grass skirt thing, Porkfest attendees, whether you fully agree with their belief system or not, they are libertarians. They have these same ideals, but they don't agree with the debauchery and the hedonism, right? I heard you guys talk about that the other night as well, and the libertinism, because there's a lot of mixing up of that. You can be a libertine, a hedonist, and be a libertarian, but you can't bring that out to everybody else and expect, oh, you're not like this, so you can't be. You're just a conservative.
Yeah, but
conservative and libertarianism can 100% be together.
I don't believe that. I don't really want to say his name. I don't want to bring hate against this person, but the person in the grass skirt, wasn't he making a compromise by wearing the grass skirt? I think it's just like, you really clearly want to control people.
I heard he was aroused. I mean, so.
I've also heard that that's ridiculous, and I've heard it from him that that's ridiculous, and he wasn't. So, the other thing
is, the guy carries himself in a sexual way. I don't want to be around him. I have nothing against gay people.
I love
people
him. I love
like
this
that,
guy. He's great. I think he's absolutely fantastic. I like him as much
like
as I like
that.
You.
I'm good. You know what I mean? So I don't associate with people like that, and I'm free to associate.
Yep, that's your free choice.
Yeah, but
if someone
walking next to you, the same thing as associating with him, like he wouldn't force you to talk to him, I'm sure.
He actually came up to my table and was, engaging. Yeah. So he likes to go out, and those type of people, that guy likes to go out and be an exhibitionist.
So if
that's the whole thing.
If you told him to go away, would he listen?
That's the whole point of Body Freedom Village. It's being exhibitionist there. But then when you want to come out in public where there's children around and you want to do that, I mean, he found out. And Porkfest found out. They didn't want to deal with it until it was more than just you know, my buddy and me and Rochelle, there was a lot of people in that chat that took over after we left. And people that we had no influence over. They were actual just, like, good free staters that aren't, you know, looked at like me because I don't agree with everybody because they're a free stater, you know.
Well, my question is, if you told him, hey, I don't want to talk to you, please go away, would he do it? Or was he just standing there forcing you to talk to him and associate with him?
I have more decorum and respect than that. If the dude, you know what I mean? The dude wants to come up half naked, I'm a grown man. But there's children at the tent, too. Like, dude, what is going on? What are you doing? Why are you coming up to random people with children around at being an exhibitionist? So he does do that. I have witnessed that. And I don't like it, but is it my job to have to chase him around and disrupt the event? He's a freaking...
Wait, so does this mean you did see the
grass skirt? As long as he's not touching and going after children, I mean, that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. But I don't appreciate him coming near me either. And he'll catch that vibe and he'll go away and he'll keep away from me.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you... But my thing is, you could say it to him because maybe not everybody will get a vibe, but I don't know. I don't think that your preference for not being around him is greater than his right to walk around in a grass skirt.
I actually do remember I was yelling at one dude last year, and that might have been over that thing. Somebody started talking back to me. And I said, come do something. So bro, you're not going to be a Pork Fest attendee and then threaten to do something to me and then not have me call you up. So whatever, yo. If somebody wants to fight, we can fight. We can do a mutual combat. That's not anti-libertarian. We can agree to combat. Let's do it. Like, so, legally speaking, it's a misdemeanor or violation. I think it's actually only a violation. It is still. That's something I think we need to get taken off the books. I think we should have mutual combat and proving grounds. And that's where these things could be settled. And if somebody doesn't show up, then, you know, they lose face in that respect.
Yeah. I would be totally for that becoming legal, too.
Yep, it is actually legal, I think, in Washington State,
wow.
If I recall correctly.
I didn't know it was legal anywhere.
Yep. There's not many places. I think it's like Washington and maybe one other place. I don't know if it's Texas. There's one other.
Really?
You can check it online. So,
well, one thing that's legal in Austin, Texas, is walking around shirtless, and I've done it at Barton Springs in Austin. Walked around shirtless with my friend that was also a female. I don't really know for sure that there was kids there, but it was the most packed I've ever seen it, so there probably was kids there. It was just like, it was like my 22nd birthday, so it was like 5 years ago, so I barely remember, and I drank all the time.
I want to come back to something that you said, Footloose, that I disagreed with. I just didn't jump into you on it. You said you thought that libertarians and conservatives can, I don't know what the exact terminology you use, but you made it sound like you thought they could completely get along.
You can be, 100%.
I don't agree, and here's why. I think that there are certain issues on which we can absolutely move forward together, right? Like we can work together politically to, lower taxes.
You can have both philosophies, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's the thing. The libertarian viewpoint is really only non-aggression, right? Like there's nothing else to it.
From what I've looked into.
Well, I think in order to be a good person, you have to do more than just subscribe to the non-aggression principle, and I think that it opens up a whole other conversation about how to have a good society and how to treat other human beings. But libertarianism only just says, hey, don't hurt that guy. You know, don't hurt people.
Really. It says a lot more than that. There's a lot more to it than just don't hurt people. The non-aggression principle... Like, I looked into it. The whole non-aggression principle is way misused. Non-aggression principle can only be violated from acts that are malum in se, things that are inherently evil. So a point I'd like to make before I forget about the whole, threat. So let's say somebody threatens to assault a drag queen in their neighborhood if it happens. Now... If you think that's a credible threat, then why shouldn't somebody go attack this person? Right? Nobody's going to attack them because they don't believe it's a credible threat. And does it give you the right to just start, assaulting other people, at what point...
No, someone needs to be in imminent harm. And I've already said...
Exactly. Are you taking steps?
LRN.FM.
I can't say that on broadcast radio. I'll let you slide here on this one, but just got to watch it. All right, we are on broadcast. Go ahead,
really careful before.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If you don't have a knife in your hand, it's just like people are spouting off at the mouth, and they're expressing themselves with the best words that they have. Not everybody has the greatest articulation, especially when they get angry.
That's true. Well, but it sounds like you are still talking about aggression and like the subtleties of when a thing is or isn't aggression. But you'd said that you think libertarianism is beyond that. So can you identify an area beyond the question of aggression that you think libertarianism addresses?
Civil rights and laws. I mean, I could pull it up on Google. I've been looking. I don't have my notes or anything like that, but there's a lot more property, right? Property rights. Less government and taxes, which are also conservative views.
So property rights is a good one because generally libertarians do agree with the idea of property rights. However, what they don't agree on is how all that should really work. So libertarians, when they talk about ownership or homesteading, they get very disagreeable. Some people believe that it's okay to, for instance, come to an unclaimed or what, you know, maybe claimed, but a large untouched land that might have a quote-unquote owner in the current society. But they say, look, owner, you haven't put any effort into this land. You haven't tilled the land. You haven't cut the trees down. You haven't built a thing. You haven't planted any food. You don't have any cows grazing on it. You know, so they say, this is unapproved land. We're going to move here. We're going to improve that land, and then it's going to become ours. This is the idea of homesteading. And not all libertarians agree with that. I think that what you're talking about isn't per se about
Does that become theft when you take unused land? But there's legal things for that where, like, if you're in a house where someone's abandoned it for 5 years or something, there's like legal processes you could do, squatter's rights and things like that. So that's possible.
Yeah, well, and I think the more the libertarians talk about is what could we do without the legal system? What would a system look like of freedom in the future? And these are questions I don't think we have time to get into tonight. Thanks for joining us, Footloose. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you this weekend at Rogers Campground.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.